start having me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling and I don't feel no pain at all. Right in my day.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Happy Friday. Aren't you glad? Huh? this is a breaking news story. Just a couple hours ago, the Barack Obama campaign is seeking a special prosecutor on all these Acorn inquiries. It says here, it's from the New York Times blog site, seeking to portray law enforcement investigations into reports of fraudulent voter registrations in several states as an extension of the controversial firings of U.S. attorneys. The Obama campaign today called for a review by a special prosecutor. This is more of the criminality of the Bush Justice Department. I can't think of a cabinet position that has been more corrupted than the Justice Department by this collection of Bush thugs. The one cabinet position that is there to ensure equality under the law, justice, fair play, to investigate charges of racial bias, gender bias, you know, the Civil Rights Division, which the Bush crime family decided to utterly set on fire, burn to the ground, which they pretty much have done. And to undermine the rule of law in this country. This is what Bush and Cheney have done. They have literally undermined the rule of law in this country. It's way beyond, not to minimize, but it's way beyond the wars that they have started, the death that they have caused in that respect, of course, and the deaths that they have caused. That is a singular event. But as far as the corruption of the United States that Bush and Cheney have perpetrated against us, this goes beyond their cronies ripping to pieces the financial sector of this country. It goes beyond telling the parents of children on Medicaid or these children health programs for low income people. You know, go screw yourself. This the corruption of the Justice Department literally undermines the rule of law in this country, completely attempts to undo what the framers of the Constitution tried to do. That is what history is going to remember these sons of bitches for, these Bush crime family thugs. But anyway, what Obama is saying is, look, and he went to the Attorney General, Michael Mukasey, and the special prosecutor Nora Danahy, who is investigating the attorney firings. And the Obama campaign is requesting that that investigation into the criminal activity perpetrated by the Bush administration, criminal political activity perpetrated by the Bush administration in firing federal attorneys, that investigation be expanded now to find the criminal activity in all this Acorn crap. What the Obama campaign is asking is that the special prosecutor, Ms. Danahy, look into whether FBI investigations of Acorn were politically motivated. There was a conference call today with reporters, and Bob Bauer, who's general counsel for the Obama campaign, he suggested that there was, quote, an unholy alliance of law enforcement and the ugliest form of partisan politics. He went on to say, there is ample reason for us to be concerned about Republican involvement, and we believe this ought to be included in the special prosecutor's mandate, end quote. Now, before we all jump up and grab our tinfoil hats, I don't think the implication here is that the FBI in its entirety has gone over to the dark side. Remember, the FBI is the law enforcement division of the Department of Justice. And if the Department of Justice has been totally corrupted, then it stands to reason that the FBI would be totally corrupted. The FBI does not have a real good reputation. I'm not trying to defend them, because it is chock-a-block with people who look at civil rights the same way you and I look at, dog turds on the sidewalk, you know, something to avoid, step around, and if you get your foot in it, go scrape it off in the lawn. But before we condemn the entire FBI, let's just keep in mind that they're not all bad people, I guess. I don't know why I'm saying that. I don't give a damn about the FBI. I really don't. Some of the stuff they've done historically over the past 40 years has really been right up there with the KGB. But anyway, Bauer spoke to reporters after the McCain campaign manager Rick Davis stepped up his attacks on Acorn today, saying that reports of fraudulent voter registration cast what he calls a cloud of suspicion over the election. Oh, Rick Davis, shut your goddamn mouth and sit down. You know, you're about to have your ass handed to you. You really are. With all the cheating, all the lies, all the distortions, all the ugliness that these people have injected over the past 20 years into the political process, and especially this election, Rick Davis is about to be unemployed. And he, you know, the hyperbole these people are using, even McCain, when was it? Yesterday, McCain said, what did he say? He said the Acorn was, quote, maybe perpetrating one of the greatest frauds in voter history in this country, maybe destroying the fabric of democracy, end quote. That's McCain, for Christ's sake. And there, every single news gathering organization in this country that enjoys that title or deserves that title has reported that out of millions upon millions upon millions of votes cast, that the most that the Voting Rights Division or whatever the hell it's called of the Justice Department has been able to come up with over the past 6 or 7 years is like 6 cases of actual prosecutable voter fraud. This is worse than being there's no there there. These distortions, these lies made up by the Bush crime family, it is, oh, God, calm down, Mike. You're only 8 minutes in the program. Just take it easy. In his letter to the Attorney General, Bob Bauer, general counsel for the Obama campaign, wrote, I request that Special Prosecutor Danahy's inquiry include a review of any involvement by Justice Department and White House officials in supporting the McCain-Palin campaign and the Republican National Committee's systematic development and dissemination of unsupported, that means lies, spurious, that means big lies, allegations of vote fraud. It is highly likely, continuing the quote, it is highly likely that the very sort of politically motivated conduct identified in the department's investigation to date, necessitating the appointment of a special prosecutor, he's referring to the firing of the attorneys, is repeating itself. And for the same reason, unwarranted and politically motivated intervention in the upcoming election, an investigation must be entrusted to government officials who do not have an improper political motivation or a conflict of interest, either in fact or appearances, end quote. Now, privately, law enforcement officials are saying that the FBI inquiries in several states did not amount to a national investigation. But just today, another lawsuit was filed in Pennsylvania. So it's I get so damn angry. Don't you just get so damn angry? You know, the evil thugs who are trying inside my own country, trying to destroy my country. I get so damn angry. Sometimes I don't know. It's not because, you know, I see the Democrats and Republicans as the A team and the B team or the red team and the blue team or the home team and the visiting team. You know, I don't give a goddamn about any of that. What I see is the Republican Party as a genuine force of evil, an absolute genuine force of evil. And it was Newt Gingrich that deliberately and specifically tried to turn it into that, and to a certain degree succeeded. But I get so angry because I look at these people who look like, I said this before, they look like me. They're white. Most of them are males. Some of them are my age. Some of them are not. And they are trying to destroy my country. They're trying to destroy my country. If they were an invading force, I would be armed and trying to pick them off. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Past the hour. Now, regarding this request by the Obama campaign to check out the involvement of Republicans in the Justice Department and the White House with all this acorn nonsense, oh my God, and whether or not it's just an extension of the criminality injected into the Justice Department by the Bush crime family, who are concerned the firing of the attorneys. The Obama campaign is simply asking that the special prosecutor expand her investigation to include the activities of the FBI and other law enforcement agencies who, with the prodding of Republicans, are filing these lawsuits that are trying. And by the way, the Supreme Court ruled today that in the state of Ohio, we reported this last night, that Ms. Brunner, the Secretary of State, does not have to do what the Republicans wanted her to do, and that would be to provide all the voter lists of all the new registered voters in comparison with a Department of Division of Motor Vehicles list, yada, 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 yada. Supreme Court said no, hell no, just get on with your election. That's not what they said, but that's essentially what they said. And, of course, the Republican Party now is pissing all over itself because their ploy to steal Ohio once again has failed. And you can't go any higher than the U.S. Supreme Court. So guess what, you Republican jackasses in Ohio? Goodbye. Bye-bye. Have a nice ride to hell. But Newt Gingrich is really the one who started this. He had an organization called GOPAC. It was GOP Action Committee. Isn't that cute? Back in the 90s, he set this up, and then he came up with something that he called the Contract with America. That anybody with the sense God gave a turnip called it Contract on America. But he insisted in his GOPAC tapes that language really mattered. And he listed language as a key mechanism of control. Now, keep in mind, this is right out of the Nazi playbook. Exactly. I mean, it's almost as though some of these dead Nazis should arise from their graves and charge Newt Gingrich with plagiarism. But he said on the tapes, "We believe that you could have a significant impact on your campaign and the way you communicate if we help a little. That's why we have created a list of words and phrases." The list is divided into two sections, optimistic, positive, governing words and phrases to help describe your vision for the future of your community, and contrasting words to help you clearly define the policies and record of your opponent and the Democratic Party. Now, he listed then, he sent some of the reading material that went with the GOPAC tapes for, this is back in 92 and 93, and then the election in 94 that saw the House of Representatives switch over to Republican control, and that began our ride into the stinking pits of hell. But Gingrich said, use the list below to help define your campaign. And then he lists some words: active, activist, building, candid, care, challenge, learn, legacy, liberty, light, listen, mobilize, change, children, citizen, commitment, common sense, confident, courage, crusade, dream, duty, empowerment, family, freedom, hard work, help, humane, incentive, initiative, lead, moral, movement, opportunity, passionate, peace, pioneer, precious, goes on and on. Reform, rights, strength, success, tough, truth, unique, vision. And then there was the list of words to use on the Democrats. Abuse of power, anti-flag, anti-family, anti-child, anti-jobs, betray, bizarre, bosses, bureaucracy, cheat, coercion, collapsing, consequences, intolerant, liberal, lie, limit, mandate, obsolete, pathetic, permissive attitude, pessimistic, corrupt, cynic, decay, destroy, devour, disgrace, greed, hypocrisy, incompetent, insensitive, radical, self-serving, selfish, shallow, shame, sick, status quo, steal, taxes, threaten, traitors, unionized, waste, welfare. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that sound, oh, so contemporary? Who'd have thunk that that was put together 16 years ago? Now, think back over the past 4 presidential campaigns, 8 congressional campaigns, and how familiar are you with the Republicans using those words? Oh, bingo!
Friends future, it's Mike Malone.
It's 25 before the hour. I sometimes wonder what people think in this country when they send someone like, for example, Michelle Bachmann to Congress. She represents a district in Minnesota. She's a Republican, of course, and she's a hate monger. She's the type of person that would have gladly rounded up the Jews in Germany and shipped them off to death camps. She's the type of person who would have had no problem sending typhoid smeared blankets to Native American families awaiting deportation to reservations. She's the type of person that I'm sure believes that the use of Agent Orange in Vietnam was good and the use of depleted uranium in Iraq served a purpose. This is an evil bitch from hell. I mean, just an absolute evil woman. And I wonder when I've known about Michelle Bachmann for some time now, but I wonder what the voters in your home district, what are you people thinking when you send someone? Is this what, I mean, do you really appreciate her point of view, her brain dead attitude about stuff? And it's not just Bachmann. There are all sorts of members of Congress, Republicans all, who are sick and poisoned and turn around and spread their poison across the country. For example, she was on Hardball today. And not only did she attack the patriotism of Barack Obama, I mean, God damn it, can't you freakish Republicans attack someone for their politics, their political point of view, their position papers, what they might want to do if they're elected? You scum bastards, you go after someone's patriotism? You're as bad as the Nazi high command when they were attacking Jews. You're disgusting, all of you, especially you, Bachman, you freak. Ah! And then she got off of Obama and suggested that all liberals, all liberal points of view, and it was liberals who worked their asses off to see that someone of her gender could even run for office, could even get the goddamn vote. And there she stands, sits on her lumpy ass on Chris Matthews' program, attacking all things liberal. People like Pelosi, Reid, professors, all Americans who identify themselves as liberal. We're all anti-American. And when Tweety Bird, stunned by her remarks, asked Bachman how many people in Congress hold these views, she responded, "You'll have to ask them." What she is suggesting, in an indirect way, because she's a Republican, she's a scum-sucking, lying Republican, she's suggesting that we reactivate the House Un-American Activities Committee, HUAC. Now, you have to be over a certain age to know what the hell I'm talking about. This was kind of, sort of, had something to do with Senator Joe McCarthy from Wisconsin, the famous red baiter back in the 50s. But the House Un-American Activities Committee was the one that blacklisted artists, writers, politicians, musicians, poets, and they didn't have to be people in the creative arts. It could be anybody they wanted to label as un-American. And they could have been, some of them were locked up. They were fined. They were charged with contempt of Congress. Are you now or have you ever been associated with the Communist Party? Was the famous line. And a lot of people would sit there and say, I refuse to answer, using their Fifth Amendment protections. And HUAC, or the red baiting, or the House Un-American Activities Committee, they didn't give a goddamn about what? Fifth Amendment? Screw the Fifth Amendment. And these people were blacklisted. It just goes on and on. But here she is, Sarah Palin. I'm sorry, it might as well be Sarah Palin. Michelle Bachman, who wants to reinstitute McCarthy. Well, McCarthy was on HUAC. But she wants to reinstitute those kinds of hearings in the 50s. She said, I think people would love to see that. Listen to her on the Tweety Bird. We've taken out some of the lines just to condense it into a minute and a half. Listen, this is Tweety Bird and Michelle Bachman.
Usually we associate with people who have similar ideas to us, and it seems that it calls into question what Barack Obama's true beliefs and values and thoughts are. You've got Harry Reid, who's liberal, Nancy Pelosi, right, who's liberal.
You have a troika of the most leftist
administration in the history of our country.
If you have liberal views, does that mean you have anti-American views? What's the connection? I don't get the connection. What's the connection between liberal and leftist and anti-American?
Anti-American is the point. Well, the liberals that are Jeremiah Wright and that are Bill Ayers, they're over the top anti-American. Remember, it was Michelle Obama who said she's only recently proud of her country. And so these are very anti-American views.
So you believe that Barack Obama may have anti-American views?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very concerned that he may have anti-American views.
What about people like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, the liberals you were mentioning a moment ago? Where would you put them? Would you consider them anti-American as well?
I would consider them
anti-American?
To have far leftist views.
Yeah, you put three words together, liberal, leftist, and anti-American. How do they all fit together, those three terms?
I think the people that Barack Obama has been associating with are anti-American by and large.
How many do you suspect of your colleagues as being anti-American?
What I would say is that the news media should do a penetrating expose and take a look. I wish they would. I wish the American American media would take a great look at the views of the people in Congress and find out, are they pro-America or anti-America? I think people would love to see an expose like that.
You know, to you people in Minnesota who listen to us on a Minneapolis station late at night, not a live broadcast, what do you call that, Kathy? Not a tape broadcast, delayed broadcast. How do you tolerate this kind of a monstrously sick individual representing you? What do you get from her? What does she do for you? What does she do, this Michelle Bachmann, to further your interests in her district in Minnesota? What does she do? How has she made your life better? How has she made your struggle easier? You know, because we're all on the same path, Truth Seeker. Cradle to grave. You're born, and by God damn, you're going to die. So how has Michelle Bachmann, what is she doing to make your life a little easier, a little more entertaining, a little more fun, a little more virtuous, a little more authentic, a little more truthful, a little more ethical? What is this woman doing for you? Man, I hate these people. They want Barack Obama dead. Michelle Bachmann wants to see Barack Obama assassinated. Acorn, their offices now are being bombarded by threats and vandalism, thanks to McCain and the whore from Wasilla, Alaska. Press release from People for the American Way, another one of those stinking communist organizations, right? Huh? People for the American Way! Statement. On Wednesday night, John McCain outrageously claimed before a national television audience that Acorn was, quote, maybe perpetrating one of the greatest frauds in voter history in this country, maybe destroying the fabric of democracy, end quote. In the 2 days since, that community organizing group has suffered vandalism at its Boston and Seattle offices and has faced an onslaught of threats and hostile emails. An Acorn employee in Cleveland received an email from a McCain-Palin supporter that said she would, quote, have her life ended, end quote. Another employee, this one in Providence, Rhode Island, received a threatening call. Meanwhile, emails with racial epithets have poured into Acorn offices around the nation. We call on McCain and the RNC to take responsibility for their outrageous and inflammatory rhetoric and take steps to defuse the situation. Political rhetoric has real consequences. Yeah, ask Joseph Goebbels. Ah, oh, you rotten Republican bastards. I wish you all into hell. I really, really do. Me, the get-along, go-along guy. Hey, let's smoke a doobie, kick back, and enjoy life. What's all the yelling and screaming about? The yelling and screaming, on my part anyway, is about the people, the Republicans in this country, who want to murder the United States. They just goddamn want to murder it. What is wrong with you people? What is it about this country and our system of checks and balances and three branches of government and the way we try? We've tried for generations to make things better. What is it about you cockroaches that you want to kill it all? What? What in the hell has this country ever done to you that has made you so just riddled with hate, riddled with destructive ideas? What?
I don't need security. I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jackets, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. The only side. Thank you.
taking the pie higher. It's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. You know, as the Nazis came to power in Germany in the 20s and 30s, as they laid the groundwork, the use of language was key to what they were doing. The Jews in Germany had been totally an integral part of the culture, the government, the society, the arts, music, politics, business, plumbers, whatever the hell existed. And it became necessary to separate the Jews from everybody else and to use wordless, not unlike what Newt Gingrich put together to use on Democrats or liberals or people on the left. Now, I'm not comparing what happened or what has happened so far to liberals to what happened to the Jews in Germany. Not at all. What I'm saying is this sort of activity has to have its beginnings. The death camps in Germany just didn't materialize. It wasn't an open field one day and the next day a carefully constructed death factory. Downtown Berlin or any other business district of any German city in the 30s was not one day perfectly at ease between the Jews and the Gentiles. And then the next day, Juden written all. Well, wait a minute. I guess that did happen that way, didn't it? You understand my point here? When a pig, capital P, capital I, capital G, when a pig like Michelle Bachmann and her ilk are turned loose in this country with a media that is so afraid of calling a son of a bitch a son of a bitch, of calling a liar, of calling someone who's destroying the country someone who is destroying the country. When you have a media like that, and then you have these hate-filled, vicious, America-hating thugs like Sarah Palin, like Michelle Bachmann, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Like Sean Hannity, like Rush Limbaugh, on and on and on and on, and nobody stops them. Then kiss your experiment with democracy goodbye, because it's gone. A lot of people, send me emails. Oh, you get so gone. You really get your ass in an uproar, don't you? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Why? Because I'm afraid my team won't win in this or some other, my political team in this or some other enterprise. No. Because I see these vermin, these cockroaches, these rats, these termites, like Michelle Bachmann, who are just absolutely determined to destroy this country and replace it with what? Some kind of a theocratic right-wing neo-Nazi fascist. Wait a minute, we're almost there. So that's why I get pissed off. Newt Gingrich and his word list, you evil son of a bitch. What the justices, the Supreme Court ruled today is that only agencies of the government, the state, the county, however the states have constituted themselves, only agencies of the government are able to enforce election laws. So when the Republican Party may be dumbasses, neo-Nazis, freaks, whatever it is a private organization. It is not a government entity. Now, the Republicans, of course, they took a look at the Halt America from Voting Act, laughingly called the Help America Vote Act. Jesus Christ! You talk about corruption of language. There's another example. The Republicans look at it and say, well, okay, here's what we'll do. Would challenge it. Let me tell you something, Ohio Republicans and Florida Republicans and Georgia Republicans, you scum-sucking bastards, you do not have status to challenge anything where it concerns voter registration. That's what the Supreme Court ruled today without elaborate comment. They told the Republican Party of Ohio, get your ass out of our courtroom. Are you crazy? A brief, unsigned decision said the lower courts in Ohio did not have the authority to order the Secretary of State, Jennifer Brunner, to turn over information the Republican Party of Ohio is asking for. Ms. Brunner welcomed the ruling. She said, quote, our nation's highest court has protected the voting rights of all Ohioans. See, there we go again, being a liberal or a Democrat or you know, moderate, using that damn word all. Huh? Don't we just, oh, God, we do, don't we? Our nation's highest court has protected the voting rights of all Ohioans, allowing our bipartisan election officials to continue preparing for a successful November election. She went on to say, we filed this appeal to protect all Ohio voters from illegal challenges and barriers that unfairly silence the votes of some to the advantage of others. Now, how did the Republican Party of Ohio react? The state Republican Party said, quote, Secretary Brunner has fought every effort to validate hundreds of thousands of questionable registrations. This is the Republican Party Chairman of Ohio, Robert Bennett, who has to be another evil son of a bitch, just like Michelle Bachmann. He went on to say, quote, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned, Secretary Brunner is actively working to conceal fraudulent activity in this election, end quote. And there's still people out there who wonder why I hate these people. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you what, if I had the power, I would send every Republican that I could round up to a re-education camp. I would. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. I get very angry. I am so sick of the Republican attempt to destroy this country. I really am. And not that my yelling or screaming is going to do a damn thing except raise my blood pressure and give me an upset stomach. But the word list, these evil bastards, corrupt, crisis, cynicism, decay, deeper, destroy, devour, disgrace. Those are the words Newt Gingrich said, use against Democrats. Anti-flag. Bizarre. Intolerant. Liberal. I know you already know this. Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops, he was the baritone lead singer of the Four Tops, dead today at 72, which is astonishing to me. It seems like Levi Stubbs was just always there when I was a teenager, as were the Four Tops. Can we play just a minute of it? Just a little, go ahead. I forgot to say it's 9 past the hour, Mike Malloy on Nova M. There was that one, and I think my favorite Four Tops song was Baby, I Need Your Lovin'. You remember this?
Baby, I need your lovin'. Baby, I need your lovin'. Although you're never near, I need your voice, I often hear. Another day, another night, I long to hold you tight.
That just, you know, I grew up in Toledo, and Detroit was 46 miles up the road. And Motown, back in the 60s, you know, the Miracles, the Marvelettes, Martha and the Vandellas, Temptations, Supremes. I mean, just on and on and on. It just seems like 1,000 years ago. Well, it almost was. But that was back when Detroit, oh, my God, everybody that lived in Toledo wanted to eventually get to Detroit. And, of course, all the teenagers in Detroit came to Toledo on Saturday nights because we had the what we used to call piss beer, 3-2 beer. Do you all remember that? Any of you remember that? 3.2% alcohol, whereas standard beer is, what, 7%, 7.5%. And you could get piss beer in Ohio if you were 18. So all the 16-year-olds that lived in the Detroit suburbs would come down to Toledo with their fake IDs and just get drunk as skunks. But the Motown sound, you know, you had the beach music, which was not the Beach Boys. Beach music was South Carolina, North Carolina, the beaches. Shag music, when shag was a dance, not, you know. And then, of course, West Coast music, and the Philly sound. Oh, come on, you're getting way off topic here. Anyway, just a brief thought to Mr. Stubbs. Back to the topic at hand. Sandy in Portland writes, Mike, the question is why do entities like that, like Bachman, like Michelle Bachman, get any airtime on television, let alone on a show like Hardball? And why doesn't anyone, Matthews included, push back about the Palins' direct involvement in Alaska's We Hate America secessionist movement? It's scary, but I think you're spot on with what's really gone with the vitriol towards Obama. Yeah, they want to kill him. They do want him dead. They want somebody to put a bullet in Barack Obama. And that's what all this negative hate talk is about, whether it's about Acorn or William Ayers. It doesn't make any difference. They tried it with the preacher. It didn't work. They continue. And you can see the result so far of the efforts by the McCain campaign. This is strictly John McCain's murder trip. Strictly his. You know, this bull crap about, oh, we deplore this. We don't have anything. You lying son of a bitch. This is yours. You and Palin gave birth to this monster. This is yours, John. This attempt to destroy Barack Obama. It's going to come back and bite you on your ass, John. It really is. Rosalind, who's in Canada, writes, Mike, there's an evil undercurrent running through the U.S. right now. I've never seen a people so horribly divided. So much real hate permeating everything. I wake up every morning waiting for the other shoe to drop. Don't you have a premonition, too, of something horrible heading our way? Things can't stand the way they are. There has to be some catastrophe to clear the air. These elections seem to be affecting people around the entire world. A real phenomenon, thank God, is coming to an end because I can't take much more of it and I don't even live there. Rosalind. Regarding John McCain, you know, you can treat this next story with as much as truth or doubt as you want to. It was in the Guardian of the UK today and at alternate.org here in the States. A Republican This is what it says. The Republican U.S. presidential candidate John McCain was not tortured during his captivity in North Vietnam. That's according to the chief prison guard at the jail in which he was held. In an interview with the Italian daily Corriere della Sera, Nguyen Tien Tran acknowledged that conditions in the prison were tough, though not inhuman. But, he added, quote, we never tortured McCain. On the contrary, we saved his life, curing him with extremely valuable medicines that at the time were not available to our own wounded, end quote. And as the Guardian reports, McCain fell into enemy hands after his plane was shot down in 67, has frequently referred to being tortured and has cited his experiences as a reason for vigorously opposing the endorsement by the Bush administration of the use of techniques such as waterboarding on terror suspects. Yeah, but he's changed his mind on that, hasn't he? I think he has. McCain, in 73, shortly after his release, told U.S. News & World Report that his prison guards had beaten him, quote, from pillar to post, end quote. After being worked over at intervals for 4 days, he said he'd become suicidal and agreed to sign a confession admitting to war crimes. Well, that's, you know, if you're a coward, if you're a liar, if you're a sneak, if you're a warmonger, and if you are the type who is willing to specifically, deliberately target civilian targets and murder people by the hundreds, if not thousands, then I guess you are also capable of making up stories that will somehow explain your crybaby, whiny-ass confession to the people you were just murdering from 20,000 feet up in the air because you're terrified. Payback is a bitch, isn't it, John? Huh? In his 1999 autobiography, McCain described how after his torture, he was subjected to inhuman treatment in an effort to force him to disclose his ship's name, squadron number, and the target of his final mission. He said he was threatened with the withdrawal of medical assistance. And while still suffering from his crash injuries, his guards, quote, knocked me around a little, end quote. You're a liar, John, and you're a coward. And a liar and a coward will say anything to anybody to get what he wants.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour, and by the way, I've been mispronouncing the Secretary of State of Ohio, Jennifer Bruner. I've been saying Brunner because there's two N's in it, but apparently it's, according to Bill, who emailed me, it's Bruner. Thanks, Bill. As far as Bachman, let me finish this up first, and we'll get to Bachman, because as you could probably guess, she's another one of these religious right freaks. But anyway, McCain, the Guardian of the UK, and a lot of the global press, as far as the only place I've seen it so far is alternate.org online here in the States. But McCain, according to the chief prison guard of the jail where McCain was held, and like I said, you take this for what it's worth. You know, I frankly don't care. I don't believe anything McCain says. I've been listening to McCain now intently. For how long has this campaign been going on? The Republican primary and then this general primary. How long has it been, or not this? What do you call it? Never mind. But I've been listening intently to this psychopathic jerk for about 18 months. And before that, back in 2000, I thought, you know, here's a Republican at least I can listen to. And then after watching how he responded to the attacks on him, very similar to the attacks he's leveling against Barack Obama, I decided then and there that he was a coward, a liar, a sneak, but mostly a coward, an absolute coward, and as much of a war hero as me, less than a war hero as me. I didn't kill anybody. McCain did. Lots of people. Only the Vietnamese have an idea of how many men, women, and children McCain blew into red mist with his goddamn bombs. But it was in 2000 that I decided McCain was a chicken blank, a liar, a sneak, a coward, ready to hide, you know, go to one of his seven houses and drown his sorrows in beer because this punk-ass George Bush carved him a new rear end. Oh, I hate these people. Oh, my God. Anyway, so take this for what it's worth, but the chief jailer, Nguyen Thien Tran, says, no, we never tortured him. Tran is 75. He said McCain reached Hanoi and prison and the hospital there with the worst injuries that he, Tran, had seen in a downed U.S. pilot, but he denied torturing him, saying it was his mission to ensure that McCain survived. Why? Because as the son of the U.S. naval commander in Vietnam, he offered a potential valuable propaganda weapon. It wasn't, you know, Tran is not saying, well, because I'm such a good guy, you know, I wanted to save his life, even though he's been butchering and murdering my people with bombs. But, you know, I rise above it. You know, I'm a Vietnamese Buddhist. Well, he's not. He's an atheist. You know, those rotten atheists. Oh, wait a minute. So Tran is, I don't think what he's saying here is all that self-serving. What has he got to gain? The U.S. and Vietnam are at utter peace. We have factories there now. Huh? You've heard me talk about that before, the 58,000 names on that dark wall in Washington, D.C. for nothing, and we have beauty pageants there now. And I just wonder if the ghosts of those 58,000 dead Americans stir somewhere now. And what about the 2.5 million Vietnamese who were blown to pieces and butchered and murdered? Jesus, God. Oh, stop thinking, Malloy. Stop, stop. So McCain, 72. Tran, 75. Tran says, well, we didn't torture him because he was the son of the U.S. naval commander in Vietnam. He was the son of the chief guy, the big honcho, the one that was butchering all of us, killing us, shelling our cities, bombing our cities, murdering our children, our babies, our pregnant women, blowing us to pieces. So we decided to keep McCain. Great propaganda value. We did not torture him. Tran told the Italian newspaper that McCain was sent to hospital the day after he was brought to Hanoi and stayed there a month. Tran said, I never lost sight of him. I was frightened a doctor or nurse might try to do him harm. And Tran dismissed as, quote, absolutely impossible, end quote. Perhaps the most famous story from McCain's autobiography, that little tear-jerking, little catch-in-your-throat story that one Christmas, a Vietnamese guard traced a cross in the mud in front of McCain, a little sign of, yes, we're all one in the bosom of Jesus. Oh, thank you. Tran said, impossible. My men were all communists and atheists. So, I think I'm going to cast my lot with Nguyen Thien Tran. John McCain is a liar.
He cries out, who is to blame for this war in Washington that's made a cold blood?
love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Floyd did some quick research here on Bachman and Michelle Bachman, the psychopathic freak that was on Hardball tonight. Wikipedia says some of Bachman's local critics say she could be more accurately described as a Christian fundamentalist politician, appearing on the radio program Prophetic View in the News to promote her 2004 state capitol rally against, same-sex marriage. Bachman said that, quote, God calls us to fall on our faces and our knees and cry out to him and confess our sins. And I would just ask your listeners to do that now. Cry out to a holy God. Hold this bag of snakes. It goes on to say, in support of a constitutional amendment she proposed to ban same-sex marriage, Bachman said that the gay community was specifically targeting children and that, quote, our children are the prize for this community. Oh, my God. And it goes on. I mean, bitches like this, and I don't care if they're male or female, to me they're bitches. That's the best word I can think of, bitches. You know, if they want to be sick and full of poison, that's fine. Be sick, be full of poison, but can't you do it in your backyard or your bathroom or in your basement? You know, and is this why the voters in her district elected her? So that she could lead this crusade against the queers, is to prevent them from having equal protection under the law. Someone should tell Bachman that there is not a queer in America who wants to force the Christians or the Jews or the Muslims or the Wiccans or the Shintoists or the Hindus or anybody else to sanctify their marriage. What gay folk are saying is let the state guarantee our contract, the same way you do with heterosexuals. That's all they want. And then you get these Christian fundamentalist bitches, who spend their life force, their energy, their center, their whatever, trying to legislate their religious belief onto the rest of us. Why doesn't somebody tell Michelle, or Sarah, or any of you homophobic bitches, go to your church, scream at your preacher to never let the queers get married in the sanctuary. I'm sure your preacher will go along with it. And then turn and face the congregation and say, there, God damn it, they'll never get married here. And declare yourself the winner. But as far as outside your little nest of intolerance, out here in the real world, not the demon-haunted world that you freaks live in, out here in the real world, until you demon-haunted freaks change it, we live under a constitution. And there's an amendment to the constitution that talks about equal protection under the law. And by definition, you demon-haunted bitches, that means you can't deny people from forming a contract that we call marriage. You can't do it. You've been successful so far because nobody has pointed out that you can't do it. And now three states have said, I guess we don't want to be in violation of the U.S. Constitution, or for that matter, our own Constitution. Let's see, our Constitution, where does it say in here, in Ohio or Michigan or Alabama or Georgia, a marriage shall not be performed between queers? I don't know, maybe some states have it now. But Aren't we all in agreement that the states are not allowed to pass laws? Isn't that what Brown versus Board of Education was about? And so many Supreme Court rulings that states cannot pass laws that are in defiance of or contravention of the U.S. Constitution? I mean, hasn't that already, goddammit, been established? Wasn't that established with the Civil War or something? But there they are every day. There are the Michelle Bachmans. There are the Sarah Palins.
Well, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, not between a man and a horse, not between a chicken and a duck, not between a woman and a gorilla. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what Jesus demanded.
No, he didn't. So, I'm sorry, you know, I get off on those tears. So, there's Michelle Bachmann. She's a homophobe. Her constituents apparently figured that queers not marrying was the single most important issue facing not just her district, but Minnesota and the United States and the world and the goddamn solar system. Keep the queers from getting married. Oh, my God. If the queers get married, taxes will go up. No, actually, taxes will go down. If the queers get married, the Arabs will invade us. Well, no, actually, the Arabs are content to stay where they are. We invade them. If the queers get married, the sun won't rise in the morning. I get so sick of it, don't you? I'm sorry. Oh my God. I can't wait just a little bit longer till Molly is of an age that I can, as I did with my other children, point out and expand upon and elaborate on the insanity of the bitches in this society who focus their entire life force on invading a woman's privacy and stopping the queers from getting married. I'm too angry tonight. I really am. I am just too angry tonight. And you know, the Supreme Court gave good news to Jennifer Bruner, I got it right that time, Secretary of State of Ohio, that no, the Republican Party has no legal status as to demand to see a comparison between these up to 600,000 new registered voters and their driver's licenses or their passports or their birth certificates. It's none of their goddamn business that the Hamper America from Voting Act that everybody says, well, help America voting. Yeah, this will do it. See, that's another reason I hate congressional Democrats, because they could have filibustered that right into a grave and they didn't. And now it's Democrats that are whining and bitching and complaining and bleeding, and their noses are running and their eyes are tearing up and they're wetting their pants about all the people who are being thrown off the voter list because of this indescribably corrupt Help America Vote Act. And the Democrats allowed it to go through. They could have stopped it. They could have stopped it. They could have stopped the Alito confirmation. They could have stopped the John Roberts confirmation. They could have stopped the confirmation of literally scores of federal judges, all of whom are federalist right-wing neo-Nazis. And they didn't for 8 years. The Democrats in the House and the Senate have sat back on their asses and done nothing except whine. Screw you people. I hope I live long enough to see the day when real Democrats take over the entire country. I really do. Because then the country would be okay. Because then the Democrats, real Democrats, would grant the Republicans breathing space and a place to breed and a place to, worship whatever the hell it is they worship and eat whatever or whoever they want to eat. You know, Democrats would provide that for the Republicans and leave them alone. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I guess I'm pretty much burned out now, and you people are probably, the few of you still listening, probably have had enough of this. Oh, Mike is potty mouth tonight. Yeah, Mike is. And I'll tell you right now, if I were on a satellite radio station, I think every other word out of my mouth would be the F word. I am so angry. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. See, I'm trying to laugh. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes,
time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes. Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Before we go to your calls, Jack sent me a YouTube video here. We're going to play the audio for you. It's a minute 49 seconds, so why don't you listen to it. This is Michelle Bachmann talking in a church or something. You tell me if you think she wants to have sex with her God. Listen to this.
And I want to give testimony to the sermon that she'll be hearing today, because he'll start out talking to you about how God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Amen? He says, be hot or cold. Can you imagine? He would tell the world to be cold before being lukewarm. Imagine that. Well, when God gave me his calling, when I received Jesus when I was 16, the one thing that I knew that I knew that I knew is the difference between not knowing him, being cold, and being hot. And, you know, today if you watch TV, a lot of times you'll see young people on TV and they'll say, she's hot. Or they'll say, he's hot. And what are they talking about?
Sex!
They're talking about the outward, about how someone looks on the outside. What does God say when he looks at you or when he looks at me?
Get away from me!
She's hot. He's hot. Because we are hot for him on the inside. Amen? I'll tell you one thing.
Oh, no.
Just from experience, I'm 50 years old. I came to know him when I was 16. For 34 years, I've been hot. And you want to be hot, because when you are hot for Jesus Christ, there is nothing that is like that life. It is the most exciting life when you are praying in the Spirit, when you are meditating on his word, when you are fellowshipping with like-hot believers. He turns your life around. And it isn't just for you. It's for the world.
Okay.
He changes the world.
I can't, No, for hot, okay. This woman is Meshuggah. She is totally out of her mind. She wants to have sex with Jesus? And I'll ask the question again. I don't expect an answer. Maybe some sneaky little bastard will send me an email over the weekend from her district. But what is it you people get from her? She's obviously insane. She is obviously a member of a cult. She wants to have sex with somebody that died 2,000 years ago. Or worse yet, God! You know, the Jews can't even name God. And this woman wants to have sex with him. What is wrong with that picture, so to speak? Huh? What? I can't stand this. I can't stand this. Ugh. Let's do a phone call quick. Hollis is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hello, Hollis.
Hello. I wanted to thank you for spotlighting the Republican, the increased Republican scapegoating. I think now that the market has crumbled, they have nothing left.
They really don't. And, of course, I don't think they've had anything for at least a solid generation now, maybe a little bit longer. But you're right. Hopefully, America will see the Republican Party standing there naked, its drawers down around its ankles, with its scaly skin and its bumps and pimples and missing members and ugly-ass rib cage. You know, just a naked Republican Party standing there making everybody go, oh, somebody put a blanket over it. It's dead. You think?
Naked greed. Naked greed.
Naked greed, naked power, naked psychopathy. What, how do you say it, Kathy? Psychopathy, naked insanity, naked corruption, naked. Yeah.
That's what makes Obama so dangerous. He's a thinking man.
Yeah, he is. He's a thinking man. And he knows how to dress, too. Thanks, Hollis. Appreciate your call. Michelle Bachman. John is calling from Kalamazoo, Michigan, listening on the Internet. Hey, John.
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you, man. I love your show, by the way.
Well, thanks.
And you're a good-looking guy.
I'm a good-looking guy?
You are. You look like Dennis Hopper, kind of.
I'm sorry?
You look like Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper, or do I look like his character in, what was his character's name in Blue Velvet, which was...
I don't know. You're a good-looking dude.
I think who was that, Kathy? What was the guy's name in Blue Velvet? Frank somebody. Okay. So what you got on your mind?
Really the whole thing. I'm a Republican. I used to be. I'm a recovering.
Recovering Republican.
Yes.
Okay.
So I've had to win let out of my cells.
Frank Booth.
Yeah. But there's certain words. And one of the things that I don't like is the hate.
Yeah.
And it's referred in every amount of speech. When you're born a Republican, you grow up in a Republican family.
You're taught to hate.
You're taught to hate. There's trigger words. Also, you know, it's division.
It is division.
And also, when they teach you, you know, I think it was a few years back when I said tolerance was the word. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Tolerate people. Even though you hate them, you tolerate them.
Well, I can't do that. And I wish I could, John. But I can't do that. If I really hate somebody, I don't want to try to tolerate them. I just want them to go away. Frank Booth in Blue Velvet. We'll be back after the break. This is Nova M.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon
you now. Oh, welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Coming to your phone calls here in just a sec. Oh, my God. Look, everybody left. All right, we have three open lines. 800-989-1480. Quick email from David in New York. Mike, I heard you mention McCain crossing the sand story, and I remember when it was a big topic a few months ago. According to Daily Kos, so take it for what it's worth, the entire crossing the sand idea was actually taken from the book The Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn. Randy Rhodes read this or a similar quote on the air several months back, so you're probably aware of it. Thought I'd send it anyway. No, I didn't know Randy had done that, and I wasn't aware that it was from the Gulag Archipelago, but I'm not surprised. McCain is both a liar and a coward, in addition to being a sneak. So stealing something from Solzhenitsyn, I'm not the least bit, you know, surprised. All right. Let's do some phone calls here, starting with Bruce, who is in California, listening on the Internet. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I was calling to ask you about the kind of controversy around Obama's citizenship. I don't know if you've seen the lawsuit that was filed by Philip Berg.
If there's a controversy around Barack Obama's citizenship, it's like the controversy around Acorn registering people illegally.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the actual documentation, the lawsuit.
Well, I'm familiar with the questions about McCain's citizenship. He was literally born in Panama.
Mm, well, they're questioning. It's a very kind of disconcerting. I've got to say the challenges that were filed, the legal challenges and the documentation.
Well, where do you think he was born?
Well, everything that I've ever heard said he was born in Hawaii. They're some serious questions as to whether he was born in Kenya. That his mother was apparently pregnant in Kenya.
Born in Kenya?
Yes. You need to read the. All I can tell you is that, you know, I'm a great Obama supporter, but this has me really concerned.
I don't think I would be the least bit concerned about it. It's more bat crap from the crazy people on the Christian fundamentalist.
Philip Berg filed the lawsuit. He's the guy that defended Ellen Mariani in the 911 lawsuit.
I really don't. Care. I'm not trying to be a smartass with you, Bruce, but I wouldn't care if Jesus filed the lawsuit.
Yeah, I
okay?
hear you.
It doesn't make any difference to me. It's all part and parcel. All of this stuff is all part and parcel of the same overarching attempt by the Republicans to deny Barack Obama's presidency.
Can I send you the link?
Yeah, send it to me. I'd be happy to look at it. But my quick off the top of my pumpkin head of advice would be, see these things for what they are, an amusing sidebar to the death of the Republican Party.
Well, I hope that's true.
I mean, there's nothing
I'd like better than to see them go down in flames.
Right. I honestly believe the Republican Party is in its death throes. If you've ever watched somebody die, and I have watched two people die, right at the very end, it's a little weird because it's almost like their bodies are being possessed when, in fact, what is usually happening is all the systems are shutting down. And as a result, you get the so-called death rattle, you get the so-called death throes. And without sounding macabre, it is kind of interesting, even though the two people I watched die, one of them was my mother, it's kind of interesting to watch. If you can, you know, maybe this remote putting some distance between watching your loved one die is a necessary ego defense mechanism. But there is something incredibly interesting to watch in watching somebody actually die. So the only thing I can think of is the Republican Party is in its death throes. What the sounds you hear coming from Palin and McCain are literally the death rattle. And I think we need to step back and take a look at it and just go, wow.
I'm in complete agreement with you that it's been desperation on the part of them with the, with the Bill Ayer stuff and all this crap that they've been doing. It's absolute desperation to doing anything that they can. I am only saying that I read the legal document that was filed, and it is quite compelling and quite scary.
Yeah, send it to me.
It's on the way.
All right, thanks, all right. Bruce. I appreciate you checking in. Take care of yourself. No, I just, in the first place, a man who knows he was not born in the United States would not even attempt to become president, unless he was a Republican. And then he would try to lie his way through it. But, I mean, come on, Bruce. Barack Obama is not, he's not a Republican, therefore he's not a dumbass. And think about all the things that he has done in his entire life. Forget running for the presidency. Forget that. Take it off the table. Think of all the things he's done in his entire life, whatever they are, that required proof of citizenship. You know, a birth certificate. As far as Berg or Schmerg or Herg, whoever filed a lawsuit, it's bat snot. All of this is bat snot. No, I take it back. Bat snot has substance. This is less than bat snot. It is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Does Barack Obama have a passport? Well, let's assume he does. If he has a passport, what does that... Oh, wait a minute. Ah! I just got the email from Bruce. Bruce, the link is from freerepublic.com. Jesus H. Christ, don't send me. I'm not even going to open it. Don't send me something like that. Come on, Bruce. Stay away from Free Republic. They make Fox News Channel look like a valid news source. Stay away from them. Delete. Anyway, Bruce, no offense intended to you. I understand. If you're a Brock supporter, as you say, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I don't know if you are or not, but I'll take you at your word. Then pause for a moment. Just pause. Put everything on pause just for a moment. Of all the things that Barack Obama has done, let's assume Barack Obama has voted. Let's assume he's gotten a driver's license. Let's assume he's gotten a passport. Let's assume he's registered for schools. Let's assume. I have a four-year-old who has a passport, needed to get a birth certificate. Registered in school, needed to get a birth certificate. I mean, come on, pal. Don't buy into this. Don't even for a moment think that, I don't care how delightful and colorful the lawsuit is. It's bat snot. Bats. Flying rodent snot. Okay? Okay. Bob is calling from Winchester, Virginia, listening on Sirius. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
By the way, I've written several emails to you, and you've read them on the air, which I thought was really quite a honor. So.
Well, thank you. If I read them, it's because I felt that on whatever you wrote about, you were smarter than me, and I wanted to, or had a better way of putting it, and wanted to get it on the air. So.
Well, you were talking about Michelle Bachmann, Frau Bachmann of the North, and, this thing, not only is she insane, but she's corrupt and insane. She's gotten $50,000 cash, apparently, according to research done by Carl Bremer, from two groups, one called the Concerned Women's Political Action Committee,
yeah,
and another one called the Eagle Forum.
Oh, yeah.
They're both committed to the destruction of public schooling,
mm-hmm,
in the United States. That's their stated.
Oh yeah, they want it to be church schooling. My favorite story about the Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly, one of the founders of Eagle,
mm-hmm,
Forum, who is virulently homophobic, has a son who's gay. who doesn't
the sweet irony, huh?
Yeah, who doesn't speak to her. I mean, they're completely estranged. but it's just amazing to me. These people have apparently three agendas. Stop the queers from getting married, invade a woman's right to privacy, and get rid of the, what do they call it? Government-sponsored schools. you know, and replace them with psychotic, fanatic religious schools, kind of like the madrasas that the psychotic Muslims use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I got you.
Well, and the thing that, you know, just what amazed me, when you first started talking about Bachmann and her, you know, anti-liberal, anti-left campaign,
right?
You know, saying that, you know, the thing is that, see, we need to turn this whole thing on its head and say, no, you are the Nazis. You are the fascists. You are the ones that are anti-American.
That's right. And that's what I spent 5 minutes, 10 minutes subsequent to playing that video doing. Yeah, they're nuts. They're definitely nuts. Nuts. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
So I tried to forget it any way I can. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-two past the hour. All right, I've got enough emails from everybody now to say that I got jerked around a little bit there by some right-wing nut about the Obama birth certificate thing. It's all over the place. The veracity of his birth. Okay, you know, I get caught up in what I'm saying, and I can, you know, I can get bitten on the ass by a caller. That's cool. But they published his birth certificate in the LA Times. oh God. And somebody websites have already done the research and debunked the whole story. I don't know why I can't stay current with all this stuff that has already been debunked and proven to be the spittle thickened ravings of another right wing lunatic. This Philip Berg, who in the hell is he? He's like this Corsi freak. Where do these people come from? And when you see their pictures, they're just hideous-looking human beings. I mean, just butt ugly. Just ugly. Why are all these people so ugly? I mean, ugly. And 99.9% of them are white. Ugly white men. Ugly. Ugh. Ugly. Ugly. Even when they put on their suits, you know, and their neck flesh, it just doesn't sit right in the collar, and their little fat ass fingers are just, you know, and they got these noses and eyes and ears and stinky breath. You know they have stinky breath. You know these scum suckers have stinky breath, and I bet you they have stinky armpits too. I bet you they do not use underarm deodorant. Because somebody told them, well, you know, there's aluminum hydroxide in there, that'll give you breast cancer. But I'm a man. Doesn't matter. You can look at their pictures and smell them. Ooh! Why do they all have to be so ugly and so pasty looking? Haven't these people ever stepped outside and seen that thing up in the sky called the sun? Get some color, white boy. Get a little color, please. Just because you have a tan doesn't mean you're going to, you know, all of a sudden develop a real love of watermelon, which is what you people all seem to think. They're all so ugly. Ugly! I'd like to see one raving right-wing conspiracy nutball.
Well, you know, Barack Obama is, you know, he's not really an American.
I'd like to see just one of them be a male, a white male that you could look at and not wretch. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. You know damn good and well what I'm saying. They're all ugly. They're beyond ugly. They're nasty, nasty looking. You know, might as well wear a sign around their neck that says, my breath stinks, my booty stinks, my armpits stink. I got nose hairs. I got hairs growing out of my ear holes. Ah! I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I really am. It's just been a weird week. I guess it was watching that last debate and Joe the Plumber madness and hearing Barack Obama's relatively acceptable plans for early 21st century America being dissed by this cowardly, lumpy John McCain. You know, I mean, and hearing Obama being labeled as a liberal, oh my God! Unless he is the greatest camouflage artist in the history of American politics, he's not a liberal. You know, he's a Clinton Democrat. And, you know, if you think that's a bad thing, think it's a bad thing. If you think it's a good thing, think it's a good thing. But Barack Obama has already shown, not just since he's run for president, but he's shown over and over again, he's not a liberal. He seems to be a concerned, compassionate, honest man who is going to be president if the right wing doesn't kill him. But he's not a liberal, and that's okay.
More Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. All right, I've gotten several emails now. Folks, listen. Sometimes certain members of the audience take me too literally. I know men can get breast cancer. I understand aluminum hydroxide or deodorant has nothing to do with breast cancer. Come on, y'all. I'm not that stupid. I really am not. I get caught up in one of these rants. And, mocking the idiocy and ignorance and willful ignorance of right-wingers, that's not my belief. Come on, folks. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult with this program to sometimes separate my insane ranting and raving within that insane ranting and raving, what I really mean and what I'm using as parody. I understand. But there is no linear thought in this program. It's just it's like filling up a balloon full of paint and throwing it against a brick wall. I mean, there's no linear thought here. It's just, and you pick whatever you want to pick. But I'm well aware of males getting breast cancer. I'm well aware that aluminum hydroxide or whatever the ingredients are in underarm deodorant has not a damn thing to do with breast cancer. Okay. Stamina. I love that name. Sent me an email. Stamina. Stamina writes, the scum Republican Party keeps saying Obama is not patriotic enough or pro-American or loves his country because he's black. I wonder if these same people feel the same about blacks in the military. Are they patriotic enough to fight along with white soldiers? And if they're not, how can they trust them with weapons around other soldiers? I guess the Republicans pick and choose whatever fits their little brains. Oh, God, I hate these people more than you do, Mike. Love your show. Oh, P.S. I'm going to be a member tomorrow as soon as I get my credit card working again. Yeah, I'm getting that credit card working again. Yes. Don't forget, it was only towards the end of World War II that, matter of fact, after World War II. No, towards the end of World War II, that Harry Truman ordered the full integration of the U.S. military. Prior to that time, the belief among stupid-ass, brain-dead white people, oops, I'm redundant, was the belief was that the black folk, black men could not or would not fight. And, of course, it turned out that some of the all-black units in World War II, what was the one that was the most decorated? No, that was a Japanese-American unit. But all-black units, especially the invasion of Sicily and Italy, turned out to be units that were the most among the most highly decorated in World War II. And then, of course, let's not forget the Tuskegee Airmen. But it's only been, 50 years ago that the military was integrated. So, but racism in this country, it's here. It's always been here in varying degrees. The religious right would push it all the way to the screaming point again. The political right, the Nazis, will do this. The Nazis in Germany had the Jews. The Nazis here have kind of a rainbow of people they can target: liberals, gays, black folks, immigrants, legal or otherwise, Muslims, transgendered people. The usual list that these right wing cowardly sons of bitches, the ones that stuff something in your mailbox but won't stand there one-on-one and confront you in the street because they know you'd pound their ass into the nearest sewer. That has been my experience my entire life, going all the way back to the 60s and the anti-war demonstrations and the anti-nuke demonstrations and on and on and on. For the most part, isolate one of these right-wingers and he immediately shuts his mouth and starts to whine and whimper and expect that the liberal looking at him, whether that liberal is black or white or Latino, it doesn't matter, but the liberal is going to just beat his ass into the ground. That's completely been my experience. And 99% of that has occurred here in the South, where, these truck-driving, gun-toting white men are supposed to be so ballsy. No, they're not. Absolutely not. You get two or three of them together and put a couple of beers in them, and all of a sudden, oh, hey, boy, come on over here. You know, but you go one-on-one. Of course, I'm always armed, so maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. Well, not always. I don't sleep with a gun. But but they're cowards. They're just flat-out stinking cowards. Crybabies, whiners. The quickest way to bring one of these white people to their knees is just go one-on-one with them. Just go one-on-one with them. And just one quick smack across the face. My experience has been you don't have to punch them. Just bitch slap right across the face. Especially these big-bellied, beer-drinking rednecks. You know, they have the pickup truck with the Confederate flag on the back and on the front it says, "Hell no, I ain't forgetting." Here, forget this, punk. Pew. Ow! Don't you? I'm going to call the police on you. Never fails. But I digress. Ken is calling from Reston, Virginia, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Ken.
First time caller.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. I'm a recovering conservative Republican after about 6 or 7 years, Mike.
Yeah, what made you decide to make some changes?
Well, I just started waking up to their lies. What really brought me around, I started looking back at the Republican Revolution. Remember that? Newt Gingrich, 1994, where they swept the House and the Senate, and they gave us the Contract on America. Well, it was actually called the Contract with America, but it should have been called the Contract on America, because looking back now in retrospect, they haven't done any of that. It's all lies. They controlled the House.
Well, we were talking earlier tonight about the word list that Newt put out. I used to live in Newt's district, and Newt being from the greater Atlanta area, I've been at, over the past 2 decades, not so much the past 8 or 10 years, because he doesn't hang out in Atlanta anymore, but I got to know him and spent time around him and have had off the record conversations with him. And I will guarantee you, he is as evil as he's painted to be. He's cheated on three of his wives.
Right.
He's just a hypocrite. And I don't.
Well, that's another thing that woke me up, Mike, was their culture of corruption. You know, I mean, they're supposed to be the, you know, in league with the moral majority, and, you know, that's the biggest farce there ever was. But, you know, I started looking at all that, Mike, and, you know, that contract with America, if you look at the bottom of it, they swore an oath to the American people that they were going to do three major things. They were going to balance the budget, they were going to downsize government, which they've not done that. They've made it a lot larger. They've added TSA and Homeland Security and $4 trillion on the budget, and mm-hmm. then... they swore that they were going to give us independent oversight. I mean, that sure would have went a long way in this banking crisis. But they control the House and the Senate. This is what a lot of the right-wing Republicans need to wake up, like I did. They've controlled the House and the Senate from 1994 all the way through 2006. And they had a royal flush. They controlled the House, the Senate, the White House, the judiciary from 2000 through 2006. They had a lot of control for many, many years, and they squandered it. They didn't do that contract with America. They gave us a contract to warn America.
I'm sorry, Ken. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What? Say it again. My finger slipped. Say it again. Ken?
I'm here, Mike. What I was saying was from 2000 through 2006, they literally had a royal flush. They had...
The
Senate, and the judiciary,
and they completely blew it all to hell. And I understand exactly what you're saying. Thanks, Ken. Listen, I have to move on, but I appreciate what you had to say. Good luck in your search for the truth. I don't know if what direction your search is going to take you. Just like I still have no direction where my search is going to take me. But as long as you're looking for it. That's cool. You know, I feel the same way. So, anyway, thanks for calling, pal. I appreciate it. Somebody sent this to me. It came out a couple years ago, and I printed it off same time I printed off Newt Gingrich's GOPAC memo that had the word list. The ugly, nasty, hateful words to use on anyone other than a right-wing Republican, and then the positive words to use referring to yourself. But this other list is called being poor. Have you all seen this? Being poor is knowing exactly how much everything costs. Being poor is getting angry at your kids for asking for all the crap they see on TV. Being poor is hoping the toothache goes away. Being poor is knowing your kid goes to friends' houses but never has friends over to yours. Being poor is going to the restroom before you get in the school lunch line so your friends will be ahead of you and won't hear you say, "I get free lunch," when you get to the cashier. Being poor is living next to the freeway. Being poor is coming back to the car with your children in the back seat, clutching that box of Raisin Bran you just bought and trying to think of a way to make the kids understand that the box has to last. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 10 before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight and answered your phone calls. Ben Birch, who is our podcast manager and technical advisor. Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent. Bruce Enberg is our economic policy advisor. Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf are the program's ethical advisors. And the executive producer is Catherine Bay. I'm not going to do all these. I can't. Don't have enough time left. But this being poor thing. Being poor is a heater in only one room of the house. Being poor is hoping your kids don't have a growth spurt. Being poor is stealing meat from the store, frying it up, and eating it before your mom gets home, and then telling her she doesn't have to make dinner tonight because you're not hungry anyway. Being poor is Goodwill underwear. Being poor is not enough space for everyone who lives with you. Being poor is feeling the glued soles tear off your supermarket shoes when you run around the playground. Being poor is your kid's school being the one with the 15-year-old textbooks and no air conditioning. Being poor is thinking $8 an hour is a really good deal. Being poor is an overnight shift under fluorescent lights. Being poor is finding the letter your mom wrote to your dad begging him for the child support check. Being poor is a bathtub you have to empty into the toilet. Being poor is stopping the car to take a lamp from the stranger's trash set out on the curb. Being poor is making lunch for your kid when a cockroach skitters over the bread and you're looking over to see if your kid saw it. Jesus. I mean, it just goes on and on. Some of these really hit home. Trust me. I remember what being poor and being a kid was like. Jan is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Jan.
Hi. I called to cheer you up.
Oh, good.
I drive a taxi as one of my jobs.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm poor. And,
yeah,
I
hear you.
And I picked up these two little kids today, two little boys,
yeah,
8 and 6, and they get in the car, and the 8-year-old immediately says, "You know that John McCain?" And I said, "Yeah, I know who he is." And he goes, "Well, he's too old to be president. He's 72.
Oh, my God, an 8-year-old said this?
An 8-year-old says this. And, I'm trying not to laugh because he's being very serious, but I'm cracking up inside. And I said, "Yeah, you're right. I think he's too old to be president, too." And he says, "And you know what? He's telling white people not to vote for Obama." And I said,
"Really?
Yeah, that's right. He is telling white people not to vote for Obama." And he says, "Yeah, that's bad." And he says, "You know what?" He says, black people are going to vote for Obama. All of them are." And then he said, "And some white people." And I said, "Well, I'm voting for Obama." And he says, "I'm voting for Obama, too." And then his little brother, 6, says, "God is voting for Obama."
Now, did they have a parent with them?
No, we do transportation for kids for the Madison School District.
Oh, I see.
And some of the kids are off bus routes, and they have to go a long way home, so we come and get them. And it just killed me. I was like, this is our future, you know?
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
I
have adult children who are obviously as politically aware as they need to be, but I also have a 4-year-old who hasn't waked up and smelled the political slime in this country yet, you know, and it's really nice. I like hanging out with my 4-year-old. I did today for about 4 hours. Kathy's still sewing her Halloween outfit together, so I took Molly off, went to the library, went to coffee shop, went to the post office, and you know, Molly talks about the things in her life, and none of it is politics. And most of it is, you know, just, you know, the ramblings, the kind of acid trippy ramblings of a 4-year-old, which is wonderful. You know, they don't think linearly. They don't think in a linear matter. They're very spatial in the way they think. They're very direct. Little kids, I'm not surprised that the 8-year-old and the 6-year-old were that direct and, you know, just said what was on their mind. I think it's great. Jan, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Thank you, Mike.
All right, you have a good weekend. Be careful driving. Molly is going to be Tinkerbell. I guess I said this the other night. She had a choice, and she chose Tinkerbell. So Kathy's been working for the past 3 days, sewing this thing together. Plus, she's got a head cold. And there's nothing like a four-year-old standing.
I'm not happy.
I know you're not happy, but you're a good mom. There's nothing like a four-year-old standing in the bedroom while Kathy's got straight pins in you know, all over this this costume that she's trying to put together. But somebody said, you know, post a picture of Molly on your website. We will. We will. Definitely will. But you know, Kathy needed a break today, so Molly and I took off. And in the rain. It rained all day here in Atlanta and the Atlanta area. And it's great fun. You ever hung out with a four-year-old? I know some of you do. Some of you, Bob Alexander hangs out with his kid a lot. I know a lot of you hang out with your kids. And it is so nice to just get the hell away from the whole adult thing. And, you know, when we're in the car, Molly and I, when we're in the car, we turn on Sirius satellite radio and we listen to Broadway tunes until we get bored, and then we listen to classical music until we get bored, and then... But it was just, you know, I love days like that, don't you? You all remember this. If you have little kids, you already do this. If your kids are all grown up, you remember this. You remember this. Just hanging out with your kid, your little kid, you know.
Your atheist kid, if you go to our preschool.
Your little
that atheist kid, as she's now affectionately known as that atheist kid.
The little atheist kid, right. Bless your heart. All right, listen, have a good weekend. Seriously, you know, it's fall. Enjoy the trees. Something, take a break. I damn sure will. I'll see you Monday night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh, and have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.